28, and then read down to verse 14 of chapter 12. Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath." He answered, "Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priest. Or haven't you read in the law that the priest on Sabbath duty in the temple desecrate the Sabbath and yet are innocent? I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Going on from that place, he went into their synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Looking for a reason to bring charges against Jesus, they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" He said to them, "If any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." So he stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. And again, let's pray. Father, we do, here at the beginning of this study in your word, bow before you and your word, and acknowledge that we need you to speak to us. Reveal yourself through your Son, Jesus Christ, as we see something of him, something of you revealed here in the pages of our Bible. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Rules are designed for our good, whether we like them or not. They exist for our good. Take speed limits. Perhaps you've noticed those little signs on the side of the highway once in a while that say a certain number and then say that this is the speed limit. They really are there for our benefit. They're there to protect us. We really are expected to obey them. But suppose you're a woman and you're having a baby. And you know for sure this is it. You wake up, the pains are increasing in frequency and intensity, and you know you've got to get to the hospital or you've got to drive all the way to Bamberg to find the midwife. You're not going to let your husband drive along at 35 miles an hour, no matter what the sign says. Forget the rules. Forget the speed limit. There's something that's much more important here. Someone's life is at stake, the health, the life of a baby, of the mother, is at stake here. Speed limits and traffic rules don't exist for their own sake. They exist to protect you. The purpose behind them is to save life. And so nobody has a problem when life is being threatened to break those rules. The Pharisees in Jesus' day had made a fundamental error. They forgot that rules were made to protect and to help people. They thought rules existed simply to be kept, to be observed. Perhaps you've fallen into the same error as a Christian. I mean, you're a Christian, you believe in the gospel, you believe in Jesus Christ, you want to live the Christian life, you want to please God, you want to do the right thing in life, you have a quiet time, you read, you study your Bible. But you found that your life has now become rule-centered. It's become more about finding out what the rules are and then trying to keep them. You've lost the joyous sense of a moment-by-moment friendship and fellowship with Jesus Christ, what it's like for a disciple to follow Jesus Christ. Now it's following rules simply for the sake of following rules, what somebody told you needed to be done. Now, rules are important. Rules exist for our good. God himself gave us rules. But God doesn't want you to live a rule-centered life. He wants you to live a Christ-centered life. The story that we have read here in Matthew 12, the occasion, it's a Sabbath day. The place is a grain field through which people would walk. They're taking a shortcut through somebody's field. The problem is Jesus' disciples weren't following the rules, and so the Pharisees accuse them of doing something that's wrong. And their conclusion is they can't be right with God because they're breaking God's rules. They're breaking the rules. And if they're wrong, then Jesus is wrong. That's what they're really after. You know, teacher, rebuke your disciples. So let's listen to the accusations, verses 1 and 2. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath." Now, the disciples were not starving. They're just hungry. Here we are, we're making our way through this field, and here's some grain. We'll just pick a little bit of this, we'll rub it in our hands, and we'll just eat this as we go along. They weren't thumbing their nose at God's Sabbath. That's not what was motivating them as they went through this field. They were just hungry, and there was some food. But the Pharisees don't like it. Look, your disciples, they're doing what is unlawful. I mean, this is how the mind of a Pharisee works. I mean, it's always thinking about what is lawful? What can I do? We see it here and we'll see it again in the second part of this story. Once they get into the synagogue, they go to Jesus and ask, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful. Now, what's unlawful about what they're doing? What's the problem? Whose law are they breaking? Is it God's law? Or is it man's law? You know, God's law simply says, remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. Don't do any work. Don't treat it like any other day. And God's purpose behind this rule is for your good. He's giving you an entire day to take off from work. I mean, he's protecting you against burnout, having to work all the time. He's providing spiritual refreshment, God's word, God's worship. You get to set aside other things. You get to come and be with God's people, worship God, hear God's word. to spend a whole day enjoying God's presence. And it is a rather general rule. I think God expects you to use your common sense on how we're going to observe this day, to find that rest and to observe it in the way that God says when he gives this commandment. But the Pharisees, and I think with good reason, you know, the Pharisees, they've got some bad things going on, but they're really serious people. They're serious about following God. They really want to do the right thing. And so I think with good intentions, the Pharisees saw that the Sabbath day was such an important thing, they wanted to help other people to realize the blessing of this day. And so they came up with some rules to help people experience God's rest. Well, here's God's commandment, but, you know, we want to help you experience it as we're experiencing it. And so they came up with all of these rules. Their rules that are designed to help explain and help you to experience God's good purpose. But over the years, what we find by the time of Jesus' day is that their rules begin to obscure God's good purpose. Keeping the rules became the most important thing about the day. And God's gracious, rest-centered day was turned into a burdensome, rule-centered day. And we'll stop here and just make two observations. Two important truths emerge at this point. First of all, we won't find God's rest in a rule-centered life. We will not find rest in a rule-centered life. I mean, that's common sense, right? If you've got these rules that have got to be done all of the time, you're not going to find rest. When rules take center place in our lives, they simply leave us empty and frustrated. And then the second truth that we can observe at this point is we won't find God's rest by following man-made rules. We won't find God's rest by following man-made rules. The Pharisees only created more unrest with all of the rules that they imposed upon people. No one yet has come up with a man-made rule that can produce God's peace in your heart. So here's the accusation. Your disciples are doing what is unlawful. You're breaking the rules. You're not living by the rules. You must not be right with God. Something's wrong with you. But now listen to Jesus' answer. I think what the Pharisees want is for Jesus to stop, turn around, and tell his disciples, straighten up, quit doing that, stop it. To them, the Pharisees, their behavior was obviously wrong. There's something wrong with the disciples. They need to be corrected. And if Jesus doesn't, there's something wrong with him. But notice what Jesus does. He defends his disciples. I mean, this is a wonderful picture. Here, Jesus is defending those who follow him. Jesus defends you. You know, he comes to our rescue. He rushes to our side. He speaks up for us. He stands between us and those who make accusations against the accuser. And then we learn something from the way that Jesus defends us. Notice the accusation is you're breaking the rules. You're not right with God. And Jesus says, well, let's go and ask God about that. And that's basically what he says. Let's go to God's word. What does the Bible say? Haven't you ever read? And so he's saying, let's go and ask God what he says. And so he points them to God's word. And he asks two questions, both beginning with the words, haven't you read? And he takes them back to God's word. First question concerns David, verses 3 and 4. He answered, haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, he and his companions, ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priest. This is a story out of 1 Samuel. David and his men were hungry. They had nowhere else to go. I think Saul was chasing them and threatening David's life. They needed to eat, and so they did eat. Here's some bread. We know that there's bread that's in God's place of worship, in what was standing there in the place of the temple. Their need, David knew that this was wrong, that there was a law against it, but David's need and the need of his men took precedence over the rules. In fact, Jesus moves the whole argument to a new level. He says, "My disciples only violated your little human rules that were designed to interpret God's rules. David violated divine rules." David violated the ceremonial law. I mean, Jesus acknowledges that. And yet he says David was innocent. He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priest. David's need took precedence over the rules. The second question concerns the law and the priesthood, verse 5. "Or haven't you read in the law that the priest on Sabbath duty in the temple desecrate the Sabbath, and yet they are innocent?" The very law that says do not do any work on the Sabbath requires that people do some work on the Sabbath. And Jesus says, haven't you ever thought about that? You know, let's go over and look in the temple and see what's going on. There's all that wood and the fire for the altar, the animals that have to be killed and skinned and sacrificed, and the priests have to work all day long on the Sabbath. And yet they're innocent. God's work, God's worship, takes precedence over the rules. Jesus says, if you'd only read your Bible, you'd understand this. We wouldn't be having this silly argument. Just read your Bible and find out what the Sabbath is for and what was going on. If only you had listened to what God said about the rules, you would have avoided all of this silly thinking. The accusations, you're breaking the rules. You must not be right with God. Jesus' answer, you don't know what you're talking about. You need to go back and read the Bible. You don't understand the heart of God, and you don't understand God's purpose behind the rules. Now listen to Jesus' affirmations. He's been accused of wrongdoing. He's answered their accusations. Now he makes three clear affirmations. He affirms something that he wants them to be thinking about the place of rules in the life of faith. And notice the authority in these affirmations. Twice Jesus has asked, haven't you ever read? And in doing so, he points them back to God's word. That's authority. But now, beginning with verse 6, Jesus says, I tell you. And in the Greek, it's even stronger. But I tell you, in contrast to that, or in addition to that, haven't you ever read? Haven't you ever read? But now I tell you. You've heard what the Word of God in the Old Testament has to say. Now listen to what the Word of God incarnate has to say to you. But now I say to you. Three affirmations. The first, people are more important than rules. Verse 6. I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. Someone or something is greater here. They're thinking, well, what in the world could be more important than the temple? You know, what could be greater than that? The temple is the place of God's presence. It's the center of all religious worship. It's where we go to be made right with God. There's all kinds of rules that regulate the services. What could be more important than that? I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. Some people think that Jesus is talking about himself. Others think that he's talking about the kingdom of God. And I think that's what Jesus is talking about. What's more important than the temple here? People. The kingdom of God. God's kingdom people are more important than that stone temple and all of your rules. The Pharisees were saying, we don't care about your disciples. We don't care about people needing to eat. We don't care about their hunger. We don't care about their needs. We don't care if people are hurting. We don't care about your disciples needing to eat. And in the very next story, you know, we don't care about the man with the disfigured hand. It's his problem that he can't go to work and earn a living. You know, if he wants to be healed, come back on another day. You know, don't do that on the Sabbath. We don't care about that. The rules have to be kept. Notice verse 9. Going on from that place, he went into their synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Looking for a reason to bring charges against Jesus, they asked him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Jesus said to them, if any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? There's something greater here than the temple and the rules. It's people. Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. This man with the shriveled, the dried up hand. What's he do for a living? You know, he can't be a farmer. You know, there's no way he can drive the plow. Can't be a fisherman. Can't grasp the net to throw it out. Can't be a carpenter. Can't hold the tools. This is not just a cosmetic problem that Jesus is addressing. It's not something, you know, that just has to do with his appearance. This man cannot earn a living for himself or his family. Jesus says people are greater than sheep. You would pull a sheep out. How much more important is a person? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Jesus affirms that the rules were made for people. There's something greater here. The rules are made for people and for their good. People weren't created just to keep rules. People are more important than the rules. Second affirmation is compassion. Mercy is more important than the rules. Verse 7, if you had known what these words mean, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent. Talking about those disciples who had picked the grain and eaten it. They're innocent. You wouldn't have condemned them if only you had this principle in mind, is that what God wants is mercy. He wants compassion. He clearly says that his followers are innocent. They broke the rules, and yet they have not sinned. They are not guilty. And Jesus says the Pharisees should have known better than to accuse them. You know, if you'd spent more time reading your Bible rather than reading about the Bible and coming up with all kinds of rules, you would have understood clearly what God wants, what lies behind the rules, the real heart of God, that he wants to show compassion and mercy. Does God want sacrifices? I'll put you on the spot. Yes or no? Yes. Yes. He said, bring them. Bring sacrifices. He asked for them. He gave instructions on how to bring them, what to do with them. God wants sacrifice. Does he just want sacrifice? No. Absolutely not. Sacrifices and rules are important, but God wants to see compassion and mercy shown to people who are hurting and in need. And there's something dreadfully wrong if you've got all the rules right, but you fail to show compassion to somebody who's in need. And then third, affirmation. Jesus says, I am more important than rules. Verse 8, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus is not saying, I'm Lord of the Sabbath so I can do whatever I want on the Sabbath. I don't even think Jesus is talking about the Sabbath. He's talking about himself. The whole passage is about Jesus. The Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. It is a mistake to read Matthew 12, verses 1 through 14, and think that this is just about the Sabbath day. In fact, this is the only chapter in Matthew where we are given a story about the Sabbath. Here's a Jewish writer, Matthew, writing 28 chapters. He only spends these 14 verses talking about Sabbath observance or something that happened on the Sabbath. It's clearly in the larger context of what people were thinking about. Who is Jesus? Who is this guy? Why should people follow him? Who is Jesus? And so Matthew is not giving us here new or a different set of rules. He's pointing us to Jesus Christ. Don't expect at the end of this sermon, I'm going to give you 7 easy steps for observing the Sabbath, whether you can buy gas on your way home or eat at O'Charlie's or watch TV or something like that. That's not the point of the passage. The point of the passage is about Jesus. The Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus says, I am the author, the true source of rest and restoration. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus says, the Sabbath points to me, and yet you want to kill me. You're so upset about your rules being broken that now you are ready to kill me. That's verse 14. They were ready. They went out and started talking about it. We got to get rid of this guy. They didn't care about people. They didn't care about mercy, compassion. They didn't care about Jesus. We got to kill him. They're violating all of these affirmations. Jesus said, I made this day for you. I wanted this day for you so that you could come into my presence and experience that rest and have your burdens taken off of you. You could see me in your midst, in your brothers and sisters. You could hear my word. You could find rest for your souls. Now, a Christ-centered life will not dispense with the Sabbath. A Christ-centered life will find joy in the Sabbath. Following Christ will lead us to where am I going to find that special presence of Christ when he says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I will be with them. Well, he's with me all the time. I can go to the beach or, you know. Jesus gives a specific promise that when you gather together with his people in worship, when you're gathered together in his name and you invoke his name, that there is a special presence of Jesus as he moves and works in the lives of his people. A Christ-centered life will find joy on the Sabbath with the Lord of the Sabbath, because it's then and there that Jesus Christ promises to meet with his people. Sunday morning, Sunday night, to gather, to experience the presence of Jesus, to spend that day resting from everything else you have to think about, demands of life, you think about Jesus. And so you think through that general rule of remember the Sabbath day and think, well, how best could I turn my mind toward who Jesus is and experience his presence? And it may look different for all of us. But the point is that we take that seriously and we look for ways in which we can experience the presence of Jesus on his day in his house with his people. We take God's rules seriously. We obey what he says. We trust and obey. We know that rules exist for our good. But we also remember God's purpose behind the rules. God doesn't want us just to live rule-centered lives. He wants us to live Christ-centered lives. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Let's pray. Father, we want to experience that good that you have for us. We recognize that we need to change our thinking in many ways. It would be a huge mistake to think that we can come up with the best ways to experience rest. We need to hear your word. We need to take it seriously. Even the rules and the laws that we find throughout your word, to take those seriously. But we do pray that you would preserve us from such an emphasis on the rules and the expectations of others that we would lose sight of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ and to enjoy his comfortable presence, to know him as the source of eternal life, and to experience that rest that he promises. And so we ask that you would preserve us from error on either side, that you would lead us clearly to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray this in his name. Amen.